Vasudevaya.
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Is there a book? Srimad Bhagavatam. Sonapatyo Vishanatma
Sonapatyo Vishanatma
Naradasyo Padeshatah
Naradasyo Padeshatah
Varunam Sharanam Jatah
Varunam Sharanam Jatah
Putro Me Jayatham Prabho Sonapatyo Vishanatma
Sonapatyo Vishanatma
Naradasyo Padeshatah
Naradasyo Padeshatah
Varunam Sharanam Jatha
Varunam Sharanam Jatha
Putro Me Jayatham Prabho Sonapatyo Vishanatma
Sonapatyo Vishanatma
Naradasyo Padeshatah
Naradasyo Padeshatah
Varunam Sharanam Jatha
Varunam Sharanam Jatha
Putro Me Jayatham
Prabho
Ladies, Sa. That Harishchandra, Anapatya, being without a son, Basanatma, therefore very morose, Naradasya, O Narada, Upadeshata, by the advice, Varunam, unto Varuna, Sharanam, Yatha, took shelter, Putra, a son, may of me, Jayatam, let there be born, Prabho, O my Lord. Harishchandra had no son and was therefore extremely morose. Once, therefore, following the advice of Narada, he took shelter of Varuna and said to him, my Lord, I have no son. Would you kindly give me one? Yadiviro Maharaja Tenaiva Tvam Yaje Iti Tateti Varune Tasya Nenasya Putro Jatas Turohita. O King Parikshit, Harishchandra begged Varuna, my Lord, if a son is born to me, with that son I shall perform a sacrifice for your satisfaction. When Harishchandra said this, Varuna replied, let it be so. Because of Varuna's benediction, Harishchandra begot a son named Rohit. Jatasuto hyane naga mam vajasveti so bravit yada pasur niradashasyad atamedyo bhavet iti. Thereafter, when the child was born, Varuna approached Harishchandra and said, now you have a son. With this son you can offer me a sacrifice. In answer to this, Harishchandra said, after 10 days have passed since an animal's birth, the animal becomes fit to be sacrificed. Nirdesesa cha saagatya yajasvet yaha so bravit danta pasura yaj jayeran atamejo bhaved iti. After 10 days, Varuna came again and said to Harishchandra, now you can perform the sacrifice. Harishchandra replied, when an animal grows teeth, then it becomes pure enough to be sacrificed. Danta jata yajasveti sat pratyahata so bravit yadapant yasya danta atamedyo bhaved iti. When the teeth grew, Varuna came and said to Harishchandra, now the animal has grown teeth, and you can perform the sacrifice. Harishchandra replied, when all its teeth have fallen out, then it will be fit for sacrifice. I should just keep reading till there's a purport. It's a long ways. Pasura nipitita danta yajasvetya haso bravit yata paso punar danta jayante ta pasu suci. When the teeth had fallen out, Varuna returned and said to Harishchandra, "Now the animal's teeth have fallen out and you can perform this sacrifice." But here Harishchandra replied, "When the animal's teeth grow in again, then he will be pure enough to be sacrificed." It's easier to chant Hare Krishna. Punar jata yaja sveti sat pratyaha taso bravit sanahiko yata rajan rajan yota pasu suci. When the teeth grew in again, Varuna came and said to Harishchandra, "Now you could perform the sacrifice." But Harishchandra then said, "O king, when the sacrificial animal becomes a kshatriya and is able to shield himself to fight with the enemy, then he will be purified." Iti putra nuragena sneha yantratya chetasa kalam banchayatha tam tam ukto devas tam aikshata. Harishchandra was certainly very much attached to his son. Because of this affection, he asked the demigod Varuna to wait. Thus, Varuna waited and waited for the time to come. Rohitastad abhigyaya pitukarma chakirshitam prana prepshur danuspanir aranyam pratyapadyata. Rohit could understand that his father intended to offer him as the animal for sacrifice. Therefore, just to save himself from death, he equipped himself with bow and arrows and went to the forest. Hare Krishna. Pitaram Varuna Grastam Srutvajata Mahodaram Rohito Gramam Ehyaya Tam Indra Pratyasedata. When Rohit heard that his father had been attacked by dropsy due to Varuna, and that his abdomen has grown very large, he wanted to return to the capital, but King Indra forbade him to do so. Bhume paryatadam punyam tirthakshetra nishevanai rohitaya tishach chakra sopyaranye basat saman. King Indra thus advised Rohit to travel to different pilgrimage sites and holy places, for such activities are pious indeed. Following this instruction, Rohit went to the forest for 1 year. Evam vitiye tritiye chaturte panchame tatha abhyetya abhyetya staviro viprobutvaha vritraha. In this way, at the end of the second, third, fourth, and fifth years, when Rohit wanted to return to his capital, the king of heaven Indra approached him as an old Brahmin and forbade him to return, repeating the same words as in the previous verse. Shastam sanvatsaram tatra taritva rohita purim upavrajan ujigarathad akrinan madhyamam sutam. Thereafter, in the sixth year, after wandering in the forest, Rohit returned to the capital of his father. He purchased from Ajigartha his second son, named Sunasepa. Then he offered Sunasepa to his father, Harishchandra, to be used as the sacrificial animal and offered Harishchandra his respectful obeisances. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It appears that in those days a man could be purchased for any purpose. Harishchandra was in need of a person to sacrifice as the animal in a yajna and thus fulfill his promise to Varuna, and a man was purchased from another man for this purpose. Millions of years ago, animal sacrifice and slave trade both existed. Indeed, they have existed since time immemorial. Hare Krishna. Om Gyan Timidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Bilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamide. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyate Shatharine Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9. Chapter 7, entitled The Descendants of King Mandata, texts 8 through 20. Very grateful to be with all of you today. Bhakti Sundar Maharaj, pranams, dandavat pranams to you, Swavas Prabhu, Jyotikarma Prabhu, Raghupati Prabhu, Sura Prabhu, Chita Prabhu, everyone, Hare Krishna. In the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Dharma Prochita Kayata Vatra Paramandira Matsananam Satam describes that this Srimad Bhagavatam, from the very beginning, puts aside all Kaitava Dharma, all sub-religious principles. It is declared to be the Paramahamsa Samhita, the scripture that the most liberated, enlightened lovers of Krishna love to speak, to hear, and to share with the world. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, itadas Srimad Bhagavatam Amalam Puranam, that it is the spotless Purana. Srila Vyasadeva, after compiling the four Vedas, Atharva-veda, Rig-veda, Yajur-veda, Sama-veda, 108 Upanishads, and then other Upanishads, Itihastas, Mahabharata, so many Puranas, Samhitas. He was feeling an emptiness in his heart. And it was then that Narada Muni told him, because you have not yet given a literature that purely describes the highest purpose, prema pumartaman, of ecstatic love for Krishna, and describing Krishna's wonderful pastimes with the most intimate loving exchanges with his devotees. And on the basis of that direction, he compiled Srimad Bhagavatam. 10th cantos. Our acharyas recommend that we start from the first verse of the first canto, and with the guidance of self-realized souls, to read through each verse. And ultimately we come to the 10th canto, where Krishna's personal appearance is given to us. So we are today reading from the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And we may ask, what do these verses have to do with pure devotional service? It's talking about various types of sacrifices, buying and selling humans. But in the spirit of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami is sharing these literatures really to bring us to the conclusion of the importance of Savai Pungsang Poro Dharmo Yato Bhaktir Hokshache Ahoitaki Aprati Hataya Gatma Suprasidati. That the supreme dharma is loving service to the Supreme Lord. Such loving service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. Throughout the world, people take so many alternatives. And with these alternatives, we are oftentimes promised some sort of benediction. But the way material nature works is there are so many implications and complications that come with it. That's just the nature of the material world. And when we worship demigods for the purpose of some material purpose, even then we become so implicated and complicated in actions and reactions of this world. It's just not worth it. We find this so many times. In the 7th canto, Hiranyakashipu, he worshipped demigod, specifically Brahma. Now Brahma's a great acharya of our parampara, but he didn't worship him as a parampara acharya. He worshipped him as a demigod. He wanted material blessings. He wanted power. And he got power. He wanted mystic cities. He could perform incredible supernatural miracles. He wanted to conquer the world and the universe. And he had the actual ability and he succeeded in doing so. He wanted the benediction and he couldn't be killed practically anywhere by anyone. And he got those benedictions. So he was the wealthiest person. He was the most powerful person. He was enjoying the maximum amount of sexual and sensual pleasures of any person. He had it all. But his life was so full of complications. It says, even while having all those things, he was never happy because he couldn't control his mind and senses. Material life, the more you have, the more you need, the more you crave. The more fame you have, the more you're attached to that fame. The more money you have, the more you need money to preserve your money. The more enjoyments you have, the more your senses just go on fire and need more and more and more. That's the nature of the world. And in obtaining these things, there's so many complications. Dukalaya mashashvatam. And the nature of the world on the material platform is whatever you do, whoever you are, however successful, there's always going to be reversals. What was Hiranyakashipu's condition? He had everything. Even the demigods would bow down to him and follow his orders. Even Narada Muni said he did that out of custom because everyone else was doing it. But then he had a son who he was really attached to. And that little son was a devotee who loved him more than anybody in the world. Nobody loved Hiranyakashipu more than Prahlad. But the reason Prahlad loved Hiranyakashipu so purely is because he loved Krishna. He's the only person in the world who didn't either fear him or try to exploit him or use him for their own purposes. Prahlad saw his soul as part of Krishna. And while everyone else was so terrified to speak the truth to Hiranyakashipu, little Prahlad just spoke it openly. So here he is. He has everything. But now there's a little son that loves Krishna. And Hiranyakashipu considers Krishna to be his enemy, a threat. Krishna killed his brother in Varaha's form. And he couldn't tolerate anybody being honored on a higher level than him. Can you imagine what type of ego this is? The potential's in all of us. He was just really good at it. That's the difference between an ordinary materialistic person and Hiranyakashipu. He was really good at it. And therefore it was so much infatuated because he was so successful. He had the devas, he had everybody in the universe honoring him, but his son honored Vishnu more. And that was intolerable to him. Why couldn't he just be happy with everything else he had? Material life doesn't work that way. Just like if your body's really nice and healthy and it's a sunny day and everything's just going so right, and then you step on a thorn and it goes right through your foot. Now, the amount of body mass that you have for your whole body compared to that little fraction of an inch in which the thorn pierced. There's no comparison. But that little dot, your whole body only thinks about that. Yes? And you can't enjoy anything else. Because in material life, one thing goes wrong, and it doesn't matter how many things are going right, it makes you suffer. That's the nature of this world. And none of us ultimately can control what goes right and wrong. We can try. So Hiranyakashipu tried to kill Prahlad. But Prahlad just didn't die. And what was worse is Prahlad never even tried to fight him or get revenge. He never even got angry at him. He just said, Father, just get out of the deep well of your materialistic life and just go to Vrindavan and worship Krishna. But he would bow down and say it with folded hands with such love and respect. And this was intolerable to his father. And ultimately, his father went into a state of maniac depression. I mean, clinically, psychologically, he was really in... He couldn't do anything. He was in so much depression that he could not control his son. And Sandamarka had to preach to him. No, it's all right, it's all right. He's just a boy. Just give him, bring him back to school to us. We'll make him all right. And he sent him back to school. But then what happened is he made all the other children in school like him. So the teacher said, take him back, take him back. And then Hiranyakashipu said, I got it, I have to kill you today. And he drew his sword. Where do you get your powers from? Prahlad said, from the same place you get your powers from Krishna. Show me this Vishnu, show me this Vishnu. If he's here, is he in this pillar? Smashed the pillar with his fist. And Prahlad said, he's everywhere. And then Vishnu came out of the pillar as Lord Narasimhadeva to protect little Prahlad. So it's a story. Here's somebody who's worshipping demigods and doing all kinds of religious principles. It's not that Hiranyakashipu was like, you know, went, he wasn't like... You know, he didn't, you know, go to some national forest and smoke ganja and say a few mantras and think I'm going to be liberated. He was a serious yogi. He stood on his tiptoes and did this, what is it, tadasana? He did this asana and he held his, he was doing pranayama to such an extent he stopped breathing. He was really a yoga master from a physical perspective. And that's how he got his powers. And he was a scholar of scriptures. There's a part of Srimad Bhagavatam where he's just declaring the eternal nature of the soul to his mother and to his sister-in-law after Hiranyaksha was killed. And he was giving incredibly wonderful philosophy. If you just go to the words of that teaching, you think, this is a liberated acharya. But then you get a little further and you see Hiranyakashipu Uvacha, he's the one who spoke. So he was a yogi from that perspective. But how complicated, implicated his life was. And how Prahlad, his life was just so pure and simple. Vyavashayatmaka bhutyareke ha kudu nandana bhusha kahyanantascha bhuthayo vyavashayanam. Because he just accepted Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Sharanagati, he surrendered. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita that the Vedas mainly deal with the three modes of material nature. And how to somehow or other elevate and try to improve your situation within the material modes. By either worshipping God or demigods in different ways to improve our spiritual problems. But Krishna tells Arjuna, transcend these modes of material nature. Daiviheshu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. By taking shelter of me. The Gita tells less intelligent people try to solve their material problems on these through these material forms of religiosity. And here, in this verse today, we're seeing how distracted and corrupted human society becomes when we try to solve our problems on the level of material problems alone. And little Prahlad, he spoke the exact solution. So simple, but so difficult to execute. He said, if you want to be happy in this world, it's very easy. All you have to do is stop trying to be happy in this world. That's it. Now that's pretty simple, isn't it? But it's very difficult. Because anandamayo byashat, we're by nature pleasure-seeking. It's the nature of the soul to seek the pleasure of Krishna's love. And when we forget that pleasure, we have to try to find it something that's going to give some semblance of that somewhere. And Maya means that which is not. She's promising to give you a pleasure where there's not pleasure. She's promising to give you what you're looking for in Krishna where there's not Krishna. That's what Maya means, that which is not. Dukalayam ashashvatam. Everything's temporary. Everything's changing. And everything's so complicated. So by trying to make these material solutions, and living in the world, we have to make material solutions. You know, people, if they have families, they may have to work. Whatever they may do. But the idea is to balance everything and keep Krishna in the center. That ultimately keep our mind focused that this is the goal. Nasta prayesha badreshu nityam bhagavati sevaya. And we do that by regularly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and the association of person Bhagavatams and learn the principle of seva or service. And we keep that connection to Krishna in every situation by regularly chanting Krishna's names. Otherwise, without satsang, without sadhana, the power of illusion is so strong, we are inevitably going to be distracted. So here's Harish Chandra. He's a descendant of Mandata. Great king. Harish Chandra is a king. He has everything materially, but he doesn't have a son. So he wants to try to change that situation. So he worships demigod to get a son. And ultimately, Varuna tells him how you can get a son. And he's really happy about that. And he got one. He made certain promises. But he didn't really understand exactly what he was promising. And not only that, but he was so enamored by the idea of what he was going to get. He didn't really see the whole picture of what was going to happen. And we see how complicated and how perplexing the whole situation is. We read these verses. We don't have to go back because it took a long time to read them. But so many complications and so many frustrations. And here he is, the very Varuna, the deva, that he more in his own materialistic way, he surrendered to Varuna. He did what he was supposed to do, and Varuna gave him what he wanted. But it didn't turn out the way he hoped it would. So now years are going by, and he's just doing deals with Varuna. Somehow or other, trying to use his intelligence to get around the complications that were there. But it kept getting more and more complicated. And we see in this kind of life where there is this disconnection from true Sanatan Dharma, how implicated and complicated and difficult things become. We're reading about how there was slavery at that time and how there was sacrifices of humans in that time. Where's that all coming from? We may say, oh, that was how barbaric people were in those days. But it was really black and white, what people were doing. In these days, you know, whether we call it slavery or not, how we treat people, how we deal with people, the types of sacrifices of war and terrorism there are in these days, it's worse. It's millions of times worse and barbaric. It's just defined in a different way. But it's all because, and this is the root of this, the lesson of this story, we're trying to make our solutions, however religious or irreligious, we're trying to make our solutions without understanding that there's only one solution. And that's to reconnect to our own souls and to Krishna. Sanatana Dharma. So biggest problem for everyone in this world is, one of the biggest problems, is we expect things to happen the way we want them to happen. Because they don't. And a bigger problem is when they do. It's a bigger problem when things work out the way we expect them to. Because then we become really attached to that. And then when they don't, it hurts even more. I think we all have that experience. King Chitraketu, same kind of story. But of course that really had an incredible ending. King Chitraketu was a king too. And he had everything material, but he had no son. So he approached Angira Muni, great rishis, for a benediction. Not just demigods, but he was approaching great rishis for material benedictions. And they said, all right, you'll get a son. He'll be the source of happiness and distress. He was thinking, oh, man, everyone's a source of distress, but I'll be so happy if I get him. Little did he know. He got a son. He was so happy. Because when you don't have something and then you get it, it increases the enjoyment. Yes? Because we take things for granted. We can't really enjoy things we take for granted. And that's a human nature. We get something, we take it for granted. And then when we kind of lose it or don't have something, then we understand how much I really need it and how much I could really enjoy it. So he didn't have a son, and he went through so much and so much, and finally he got a son, and he was the happiest person you can imagine materially. But then other people got envious, and they murdered the son when he was sleeping. And that was really, really terrible. His happiness brought about other people's envy and suffering. It's the way the world is. The success of one person causes misery to another's. I was at this conference a few years ago, and a manager of a World Series baseball team who won the World Series, I think, 4 times under him, he was telling how he trains his players. He said, when we lose a game, he said, I tell my players, you should really be happy for the other team. That was quite... Sadhu's kind of... Even I like that one. I tell my players, don't be depressed, don't be sad, be happy for them. Because somebody has to win and somebody has to lose, and now they're happy as anything. So we should be happy for their happiness. But we should learn our lessons. so that we can be happy next time in our own way. And it worked. But the reality is, any success causes pain to another. That's the way the world is created. So then Chitraketu was really, really suffering. And then they brought his little son back to life, and his son preached to him, "I'm not the body, I'm the eternal soul. Why are you crying? You're not my father. I've had so many fathers and so many mothers and so many births and so many deaths, and now I'm going." And he was enlightened, and he became a sage. But becoming a sage doesn't mean everything's going to go right. Sometimes we think, now I'm a devotee, everything should go right. Krishna's the controller of all controllers. So now he's a sage, and he accidentally just said something to Lord Shiva, and Parvati cursed him to die and be a demon. He bowed down and said, "Yes, thank you very much. I didn't mean any harm to your husband, but if that's my destiny, I will happily go." And then he became Vritrasura. But he was a great devotee. Internally, he was a great devotee, but he was doing his dharma as an asura. And ultimately, he went back home, back to Godhead. So what beautiful stories. The Srimad Bhagavatam is taking us through, helping us to navigate what we should be very careful for. Because any time and every time we try to manipulate material energy to solve our problems without a context of the real goal of life, things become really complicated. And even if we're good, when those complications come, it can bring the worst out in us, individually and collectively. So we hear these beautiful stories. Today's incredible story. This story is all about pure devotional service. It's all about compassion to all living beings. Even though it's talking about things that are really, really incredibly distasteful. That's why. It's just black and white showing us how, when we're disconnected from pure devotional service, how complicated material energy is, whoever we are. Trying to make deals to fulfill our material desires. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he emphasized from the Vedic literatures, the only yajna, the only sacrifice that is recommended in this age of Kali is Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Yajyai Sankirtana Priyaya Jantihi Shumedisha. The chanting of the holy names, congregational kirtan. Kaler dosani de raja nasti heka mahanguna kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sangha parampraje. It is said in Kali Yuga, although it's full of faults, the great sages really consider it the best age. Because the story we're reading today is not Kali Yuga, that's a previous age. But still people are getting so implicated and complicated in so many material conditions, trying to solve their problems. And nobody in this story is happy. They're all really, really just struggling like anything. Even though they're getting their desires met, but with every time they get their desire fulfilled, it leads to another problem. Have any of you ever experienced that? Kind of like Frankenstein. You know, Dr. Frankenstein wanted to create a man out of a dead man and make him alive. And he worked so hard for so many years with so much study. Of course, it's a book, but it's symbolic. He worked so hard and he gave years and years of his life and he did it.
historical breakthrough in science. He actually brought a dead man alive. It's a victory. But then the dead man attacked him and started killing his relatives and killing his friends and killing his wife and killing his children and killing innocent little girls. And then he was chasing after him, and his whole life was so miserable. But why was it so miserable? Because he was successful. If he failed, he would have been just miserable because he failed. But because he was successful, he was more miserable. That's the way material life works. We meddle with Krishna's energy, and it's going to complicate our lives. Bhakti means to live in harmony with Krishna's will. Atapum beard vijastreshtas varana shrama vibhaga shashvanushtatasya dharmasya samsatya radhi toshana. Whatever our occupation, whatever our status in society, our only true purpose and goal is if we please Krishna. What pleases you, my Lord? And everything we do should be with that essential purpose, to please Krishna. So in this age of Kali, it's so easy to please Krishna. In this ocean of faults, there's a single benediction that simply chanting Krishna's name sincerely, we can attain the perfection of liberation. Lord Chaitanya said, this is the real yajna for the Kali Yuga. And all other yajnas, even when we're performing fire sacrifices and others, we do it in such a way that at every stage we're chanting Krishna's names. And that's truly what gives that connection to bhakti, to Krishna. Today, Bhrigupati Prabhu was leading such an incredible kirtan. Everyone was dancing in so many jubilant ways. So much easier than what we're reading about today. Thank you very much. Is there any questions? Yes.
As you were talking about, everyone was so ecstatic here in the temple room, you know, when we're chanting in the temple. But if we go out on the street chanting ecstatically like this, then there'll be so many more people will join in who are very ecstatic. And we had an experience this weekend. We were distributing books at the it's a comic book convention, and then afterwards some of us did Harinam, and we were doing Harinam in front of the venue, and then one of the security guards kicked us out, and everybody was booing the security guard because, you know, people were chanting and dancing with us and were enjoying it. And then so as he was leading us out, you know, 30 or 40 people were following this chanting and dancing. So this is, it's not an ordinary thing. If people actually, you know, can see the glory of the Harinam Sankirtan more prevalently, then there will be like a, I think, a big explosion of Hare Krishna around the world. Could you comment on that? Thank you, Mark.
I shall comment on that. Very good. Thank you very much. That's my comment. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada was very much emphasizing that in all situations with a very pure purpose, we should be enthusiastic. That enthusiasm is very much an expression of our devotion. Enthusiastic, anybody can be enthusiastic when everything is going the way we want it to go. But we should have the same enthusiasm to do the right thing with a pure purpose, even if things are not necessarily the way we may want them to go. Sometimes it's a beautiful sunny day and we're watching the sun setting over the Pacific Ocean and we're chanting Hare Krishna. And other days we're on an airplane and it's about to crash. And everybody's screaming and alarms are going out and everyone, and they're telling you put your head behind under your legs and you're chanting. So which is better? They're both better if we're enthusiastic. When the sun is setting, we should know that, you know, just as the sun is setting, the sun lasts forever, but it's setting on the horizon. And similarly, the soul lasts forever, but it's going to set pretty soon too in this body. So any moment, whether it's at a sunset or it's in a plane crash, there's danger at every step in this world. So we shouldn't get distracted by little things that don't go our way. It's just not worth it. Shouldn't distract us from the main blessing that we have. To become Krishna conscious. To surrender to Krishna. We have all the tools and all the blessings to do so. And Prabhupada wanted us with a very pure purpose to be enthusiastic in every situation. So if there's 10,000 devotees on Harinam, or there's two or three, we should be enthusiastic with a pure purpose. And it should be like that in every service we do. That's my comment. Thank you, thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much.
Maharaj, before you disappear.